Bless you. We give you praise and glory, O God. We thank you because there is life in your word. And as your word come into our lives this morning, we are recreated in Jesus' name. We are renewed in Jesus' name. We are refreshed in Jesus' name. We are reorientated in Jesus' name. We are reformed in Jesus' name. We are reinvigorated in Jesus' name. We are re-energized in Jesus' name. The people of God are swelling as a result of the word today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Praise God. For some time now, we've been talking about the kingdom formula for your all-round victory. The kingdom formula for your all-round victory. Let's go back to our text, which is 1 John chapter 5. The book of 1 John chapter 5. We are going to read from verse 4 to 6. 1 John 5. 4 to 6. There are some formula that work, and it's the formula of Jesus that works all the time. It's going to work for you in Jesus' name. Because the reason we come to church is because we don't know how to live our own lives, and we come to Jesus, we know he has the answer. He says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. So we understand that the way that overcome the world is the way of faith. So our faith in Jesus Christ is the only way for us to be victorious. And embedded in this way of faith are the principles of God that when they collide with your life cannot be the same again. Something definite, something unique has to happen in your life. We said that my plan was actually to talk about your life and your ministry. But I realized that before I can talk about your life and your ministry, you need to have a life first. Praise God. And there is no life outside Jesus Christ. So, by the grace of God, the Holy Spirit is building up a people who have a life in Jesus. And then we can talk about your life and your ministry. We said, even though a lot of people know the lingos in the Christendom, but that the rudiments of Christianity is not yet embedded in them. In other words, if we lack the basic knowledge and the necessary revelation of what Christ has done for us, everything else we build on it is a waste of time. Remember, I told you, when the Bible says that the kingdom of God is not in words but in power, it's not just the doing of miracles, but the transforming power of Jesus in your life. And if you are going to be an extension of his hand, extension of his voice, and be a disciple that will follow him, your life needed to have been transformed first. Otherwise, how can you transform someone else's life? That is why we are looking at the basic things in Christianity. And I remember the week before, not last week, we said to us that we need to make ourselves available to God so that God can do what he wants in our life. That he is the potter and we are the clay. That we should allow him to do what he wants to do with our lives. We also told us that righteous living is our defense. We said whatever is going on in our lives, we must not allow that situation to drive us to the point where we are no longer living righteously, because at that point we become unprotected. God really wants to save. He really wants to save. But there's something that's shutting his hand and closes his ears to the voice of his people. And that is unrighteousness. So we say that is your security. So whatever may be going on in your life, don't lose that. So having done all to stand, stand therefore, children of the living God. Stand in the place of righteousness. And we said to us that what the devil will use against you are the things that are common to men. I told you how the police men are trained to shoot the broadest area of the body. They are not told to shoot your hand or leg. They look for the broadest part. That's why you have people shot in the chest, so that they don't miss their target. And I told you that the commonest things are the things that the enemy used to deceive people. Many of us are looking for exotic things. Some things out of this world that will make us fall. You are not going to fall in Jesus' name. But I'm telling you, it's the little things of life. If you look at the things that fall people, they are the things. It starts from the things we are going to eat. What are we going to wear? Which car am I going to drive? The house I'm going to live in. They are the basic things of life that the enemy uses to trick people. He will no longer trick you in Jesus' name. I say you are going to live victorious in the mighty name of Jesus. We say righteous living bring peace to your life and cause confusion in the camp of the enemy. From today, you enjoy the peace of God in Jesus' name. Because righteousness is your back to sender. And your righteousness gives God permission to fight on your behalf. Of course, we said allow God to change your fortune. Isaiah 61, 1 to 9. We said when you put yourself in the hand of God and you allow God to break you and remold you, what happens is this. We said, as we read in Isaiah, it is the people that God has broken and remolded that are going to be builders for him. The proud, the arrogant has no place in the kingdom. I'm telling you. Look at every vessel that God has used. I told you they have issues. Am I right? People who cannot hold up their heads and make boast. People who were troubled, they were the people that God used. They had issues. The people that the world will not reckon with, they are the people that God used. Peter, he wasn't an award-winning fisherman. He was a nobody. Matthew. Somebody said the reason Jesus called Matthew was because he was a very, very, very good publican. He knew how to keep good account. Of course, he probably will keep very good account for the master and some account for himself too. They said that's why when you read the book of Matthew, he wrote the genealogy of Jesus very accurately. He stated everything. So, irrespective of your position or your profession, your earthly profession, there is a place for you in the kingdom. Praise God. It's the people that God has broken and remolded that are going to build the highways. It is them that their children will be blessed. God will bless your children in Jesus' name. And of course, it is those people that have been broken that live a life of faith. Because you cannot trust yourself anymore. I'm telling you, I can't trust myself anymore. You have been down several times. It took the grace of God to get you up. How can you trust yourself? My brother was saying when he was giving testimony, he said, he's done it seven times. He said, he no longer trust. He said, even this one that I passed, I don't think I passed, but they passed me because God was with me. You will cease to trust yourself when you have been broken. When you see people who still trust themselves, trust their abilities, they have not been broken. So God cannot use them. God will use you greatly and mightily in Jesus' name. Today, by the grace of God, we are going to look at some of the other aspects of this fundamental instrument for your victory. Prayerfulness and soberness. Prayerfulness and what? Soberness. I've been saying it to us as a church. We don't write. Praise the Lord. We don't have notebooks. We don't write. We should be writing. It's so important. Praise God. Prayerfulness and soberness. They are interchangeable. Because if you are a prayerful person, you'll be sober. Because you have to be in the attitude of prayer all the time. So how can you not be sober? You know, we no longer tarry in his presence. Some people will tell you it's no longer as hard as that. People don't need to pray as some people used to pray in those days. It belongs to the past. My brothers and my sister, the time to pray is now. The Bible says the perilous time shall come. And these are the perilous times. If there is ever a time to pray, this is the time. Anyone who tells you that we don't need night vigil anymore, we don't have to come and pray on Friday, it's not as hard as that. They are deceiving you. They don't want you to fulfill your destiny. You will fulfill your destiny in Jesus' name. Do you want me to show you that this is the time to pray more than ever before? Do you want me to show you from the Word of God? Praise the Lord. The church is quite motivated this morning. Praise the Lord. Except that they are not excited. Praise God. I will show you this morning. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Aha. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. I will show you something there. In fact, that the time to pray more than ever before is now. Luke 5. Let's read from verse 33. And they said unto him, why do disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? They were talking to Jesus. And he said unto them, in other words, Jesus answered them, can ye make the children of the bride chamber fast while the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. When Jesus was physically present, people were wondering why his disciples were not fasting like the disciples of the other people they knew. He said, look, don't bother them. They are still undergoing tutelage. They will grow up very soon. He said, when I'm no longer physically present with them, it will be the time that they will have to fast. Is Jesus physically here now? He's here spiritually, praise the Lord. So when is the time to fast? When is the time to pray? Now is the time. He said, when the bridegroom has been taken away, he said, then they will have to fast and pray. This is our time to fast and pray. Because for every generation, there has to be somebody who is fasting and praying. And I will show you. There has to be somebody who is fasting and praying. Because in the day when Jesus was physically present, he was doing it for them. Look at Luke chapter 6 verse 12. That is why the disciples didn't need to do it. Because Jesus was doing it. Somebody has to be praying. Somebody has to be fasting. He says, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. How long did he continue for? How long? All night. Look, if you think, look, there are people doing all night in Australia. In fact, I've just been invited to come and minister at 11 p.m. on the 28th of this month in one of the big churches in town. They want me to come and minister at 11 p.m. because they are doing what? All night. And when we say, let's pray, we say no. There has to be somebody praying in every generation because Jesus was praying. That was why it was not necessary. Somebody was covering them. I will tell you who needs to be praying in this our generation. There has to be somebody who is praying in our homes. Husband and wife, we just wake up. That's all. See you later. Come in the evening. Nothing said to God. There has to be somebody praying in a marriage. There has to be somebody praying in the nation. There has to be some people praying in the church. We say, workers, let's meet Friday. Let's pray. You see a handful of people. For every generation, there are people praying for that generation. In the time of Noah, Noah was praying for his generation. Because if Noah was not praying, he wouldn't have heard from God to do what was necessary to be done. How will you hear for your generation? Somebody must be praying. Even in the place where you work, somebody has to be praying for that place. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, the place we all know. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14, what does it say? Let's go and read it again. I would like to actually read it in King James version. 2 Chronicles 7:14. He said, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek, crave, and require of necessity my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and do what? And heal their land, and heal their home, and heal their marriage, and heal their children, and heal their jobs, and heal their circumstances. Somebody has to be praying. Who are the people who are supposed to be praying? Eh? Who are the people? Eh? Well, I don't know. Who are Christians? The people who are called by the name of the Lord. I'm a child of God. Oh, he says he's a child of God. Oh, he's a child of God. He attends church. He's a Christian. He said, if those people shall humble themselves and pray, they are the people who need to be interceding for this generation, for their homes, for the nation, for the community. Somebody said, we are either praying or playing. We are either praying or playing. A Christian that is not praying is a playing Christian. You will stop playing from today in Jesus' name. I say you will stop playing in Jesus' name. The other thing I want to talk to us about is that one of the fundamental basic things of Christianity is that we have to live a life of forgiveness. Did somebody hear that? We have to live a life of what? Forgiveness. Because when we don't learn to forgive, our prayers will not be answered. Praise the Lord. Unforgiveness is ruining homes. When husband and wife quarrel and you cannot forget and move on from it, it's ruining homes. Oh, in fact, one of the things I've learned in this land is that children don't forgive their parents. I see a lot of my patients who will tell you the story of 30 years, how their mother offended them, how their father offended them, and they say that is why they are the way they are. You know what the problem is? Unforgiveness has become a poison and has eaten into their lives. Unforgiveness. If you cannot forgive your mom, your dad, how can you forgive an ordinary mortal? The people, somebody who brought you into the world. If you cannot forgive that person, how can you forgive ordinary me that you never knew before? You can't. You only met me in Australia, many of you. How can I offend you and you forgive me when you cannot forgive somebody of the same blood with you? It's impossible. Or somebody you are so intimate with, your wife, your husband, and you cannot forgive that person. Somebody was giving a testimony concerning a child of God. He said, if you offend this guy, he said he may not talk. He said if it takes 3 or 6 years, he will get you back. I'm telling you, that's the testimony that the world has about him. I've shared with you before how somebody told me. He said somebody offended him and that person came to beg him. He said after begging him, what did he do? He said he went around everywhere. They were in school then. He said anywhere that guy spread his clothes, he would take knife and cut it. After he has begged him, after he told me his story, I asked him, I said, but now that you are a child of God, he was trying to tell me how stubborn he can be. I said, now that you are a child of God, what's different about you? Unforgiveness. It's ruining homes, churches, nations. Unforgiveness. My own pound of flesh, I must get it. Praise the Lord. If you don't live a life of... Look, recently, I need to share this story with you. You may not know. Some spectacular things have happened in the last couple of months, particularly between last Sunday and this Sunday. I've had groups of people have come to my house between last Sunday and now. People you don't even expect. My wife, my children will testify to it. Some of them came begging, kneeling down, begging and say, forgive me. Because we knew that what we were doing was wrong when we were here. Am I lying? They came to... That woman was kneeling for like 30 minutes begging. Two things I want to draw out of it. The first thing is this. When I told this story, when I was sharing with somebody, and the person said, did you forgive? So you forgave, gave them? I said, yes. I said, if I did not forgive them, I would not be able to preach to you about forgiveness. First of all, I want to be right with God. I said, but I would not be able to. Let me tell you something. If you have not learned, to forgive people, it will be difficult to move forward. The second thing about it is this. Do you know, for the same people, some people even left the church. Even when we were saying that what these people were doing was not right, that this is it, some people in support of them actually left the church. The people who now came back and are begging, those people are not there now to see them. Some people left till today. Remember what I shared with you from Proverbs. He said, every man will do what? Will present the good side of himself. I told them, I said, this is what is going on. They said, no. Those people came. And some people had followed them and left the church, unfortunately. When they knew what they were doing, and I knew what they were doing, praise the Lord. But I had no option. I have to forgive. So God will hear my prayer. God will hear your prayer in Jesus' name. If you are in that state this morning, you have to make up. You have to make up. I'm telling you, I was telling somebody, I said, look, when I tell workers, I say, come for meeting. You don't come for meeting. You don't do what you are supposed to do. So is that kind of the worker that maybe you quarrel with your wife or your husband and I get to know and I can tell you to finish it? When you don't even listen to me in the church, can you listen to me in your home? And I go there, I know, and I come to you, I say, this has to finish. I bring the word of God, I say, this has to finish. You won't listen. When you have not learned to be submissive, I cannot rule anyone's life. Praise the Lord. But the reason why God has put the church there is so that God will be able to provide guidance. The Lord will shine his light on your path in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, let me quickly tell you something. Forgiveness is free. Did somebody hear that? For every child of God, forgiveness must be what? Free. But listen to this. Trust must be earned. Forgiveness is what? Free. Trust must be earned. If somebody is a pedophile in the church, they catch him, take him to prison, he comes back, and he joins the church again, what are we going to do? We forgive him. Will I put him in the children's school? I will never. If you are given small assignment, you don't know how to do it well, will I give you bigger assignment? So, forgiveness is what? Free. In other words, I'm not embittered against you. If I see your good coming, praise God. I'm for it. But trust must be what? Earned. You earn people's trust. Even you have to earn God's trust. Do you know that? That is why Abraham earned God's trust. After he had given him Isaac, he said, that son, go and read that place very. He said, that's your son that you love. That's your son that you love. He knew he just loved his son, but he had to earn his trust. Look, if I'm going to bless the whole world through you, you must be a giver. He said, will you give? So he went. Because he was willing to give to God. God said, look, this man, there's no one like Abraham. I will have to bless the whole world through him. You become a channel of blessing from today in Jesus' name. I say you become a channel of blessing from today in Jesus' name. You know what? Unforgiveness forgiveness returns your body to good health. When you see that person, you become free. Your adrenaline will not pump anymore. Praise the Lord. All the stress hormones will go. It returns your body to health. Let's quickly go to Hebrews. I think we've got time. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 to 16, 14 to 15. Hebrews 12, 14 to 15. Let's look at some principles there. Remember I said forgiveness returns your body to health. In other words, unforgiveness can make diseases to come up because of stress. Many of the doctors here will know that constant stress will alter your immune status. Am I right? That is why many of us are quite prone to common cold when we've been running around, just doing all sorts of things, not resting. You are prone to flu. It alters your immunity. In fact, there's a bigger picture. It can alter the resistance of your cells. I'm talking at scientific level now. How much more? Because you are constantly stressed. You are constantly stressed. Hebrews 12, 14 and 15. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So, root of bitterness, you know, within you, will trouble you. Not only will it trouble you, many people will be what? Defiled. How will many people be defiled? Did you hear what brother so-and-so did to me? Did you hear what sister so-and-so did to me? And people who have not even met that person, they will begin to hate the person. You are defiling. A lot of people defile the church. We've had people, look, who are supposed to be useful in the church of God, who have been defiled by other people going to talk to them and say, look, this project that you are doing for the church, if you leave it now, Pastor Adeboye will come and beg you. I will not beg anybody. If it's the work of God, God will provide. What did Abraham say? He said, God will provide a lamb for himself. Did God provide or not? He will provide. When we were doing our website here, and everything was collapsing, suddenly somebody appeared from nowhere. Started doing our website. We don't even have to host it here anymore. Suddenly, from nowhere, that I was not even expecting, the person did it free of charge. He didn't take 1 cent from me. And till today, you will find out that every message I preach, by say 4 p.m., the message will be on our website. Free. FOC. Before, the person who was doing it, we were giving him tokens. FOC from nowhere. That is God. If it's his work, he will provide a lamb for himself. He will rise to the occasion for you in Jesus' name. The other thing is this. You have to be a liberal worshiper. When I say liberal, we've talked about this before. Liberal, just, you know, with careless abandon. When they say, praise God, let's not be saying, amen. When we are coming to his presence, please, let's forget our degrees. Some of us don't have them. I don't have. So, but let's drop it outside. Come inside and worship the Lord. Forget yourself. It gets between you and God. If he truly your source, come in. If he's truly your source, come in and worship him. Forget. Because your life depends on him. If he decides to shut the tap of the airflow to your nostril, what can you say? I told you, you know, one of the things that keeps baffling me is this, you know, at the moment we stop like this, the moment we stop breathing, you know what happens? The people around us are so funny. The people, you people, you are so funny. They will quickly remove your clothes. They will remove your wedding ring. They will remove everything that you have. Nothing. They won't give you anything. Maybe your wife will just say, ah, he liked this suit. Let me give it to him. And those certificates, your kids can't even use them. They will look at it. Ah, daddy was so, he went to school. Lots of school. Lots of school. But they can't take it to the bank. They can't even take it for employment. What you will take with you is your worship of God, your character. Praise the Lord. Be a liberal worshiper. Forget yourself. Because the time has come that they that worship God must worship him what? In spirit and in truth. It's not pretense. It's not that I can surpass you in twisting my tongue, in twisting my body. No, that is not it. It's about true, genuine worship. Once I was young, now I'm old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg for bread. And that will become your portion because you are the righteous of the Lord. There should be no limits. Look, I like looking at the Berean Christians. The people from Thessalonica, the Bible said, go and read very well in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. They received the apostles. They received them as if they were angels. They took to the world. First of all, they gave themselves to the world. And the Bible says, the people, the Bereans, they were more noble. In other words, they went beyond giving themselves. They became passionate about the things of God. We were doing house fellowship the other time. Apologies to the brothers who are there. I will have to say this. And I asked them, when we are talking about who is the worker for Christ, please, do you mind? I'm feeling hot. So, who is the worker for Christ? I asked them, do you have any... Do you have any commentary? Do you have any Bible commentary? They said they don't have any Bible commentary. Okay. I said, do you have concordance? I'm not talking about the little one that is at the back of your Bible. Do you have complete concordance? Like Strong's? They said they don't have. I said, I said, okay. We are from Nigeria. I said, how many Oyedepo's books have you read? They said they haven't read any. How many Adeboye's books have you read? How many Kumuyi's books have you read? They said they haven't read any. You can't be serving God and be passionate about him like the Berean Christian, and you are not consuming the consumables. And you are not investing, because where your treasure is, there your heart lies. Where you invest your money and your time shows where your treasure is. I've said that before. You are not investing to it. I said, do you have digs? They said they don't have digs. Do you have Thompsons? They said they don't have Thompsons. Smith, Wigglesworth, Inco, they haven't read. There's no way you would say you are passionate about Christ and you don't want to know what is happening, what God has done in the life of people. It's not about mouthing something. It's not about passionately letting. When I read it, I don't read it to come and preach to you. I read it to preach to myself. Because I'm working my salvation with what? With fear and with trembling. I told you, it's not a game. It's not, honestly, it's not done to do people. You see, I told people, it's not something that, you know, is a portion that I have to, you know, a part of it, I mean, I need to fit in and be part of the portion, national cake, let's share. That's not about it. It will show in your lifestyle as well when you see what God is doing in people's lives. I told my wife, you know, before, I mean, I've prepared this sermon before. I told my wife for a while now, I've not read any new book. So somebody gave me money. They gave me money. So the first investment I had to make out of that money was to go to World Bookshop and buy some books. So I made sure that Friday through to Saturday in the night that I was reading so that I can be refreshed too. The Lord will refresh you in Jesus' name. Worshipper, give your time to him. Honor him until you honor him more than your friends. I have friends from over 30 years. Some people used to think this. They say, look, I don't have friends anymore because of... No, I have friends from over 30 years. So many, many of them. Many, many. In fact, I used to be called Elero. I had so many people. But my life is now different. I still maintain contact with them, but there are things I would not do. Honor God more than you honor people around you. and let his praise continually be in your mouth. Because when you are praising God, you will have no time to praise diseases. When you are praising God, you will have no time to praise infirmities. When you are praising God, you will have no time to praise lack. When you are praising God, you have no time to praise offense. When you are praising God, do you hear me now? Let his praise continually be what? In your mouth. And lastly, we are not doing badly for time, praise God. Lastly, seek to bear fruits. Seek to do what? To bear fruits. Now, I'll probably teach you on fruits in a different way than you've ever heard it before. So let's go. Let's open our Bible to John 15, verse 11. John 15, verse 11. Because the reason why you need to bear fruits is in John 15, verse 11. He said, "These things have I spoken to you." That is everything he has said before that time. Okay, starting from verse 1. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." And of course, we know that the joy of the Lord is what? Is your strength. So that you won't lose altitude, you won't lose strength. You will keep waxing strong in the faith. He said, "Do these things, so that the joy of God will remain in you. The joy of God will remain in your life in Jesus' name." Now, I'm going to talk to you about four different types of fruits that you need to bear as a child of God. Four types of fruits that you need to bear. The first type of fruit is the fruit of repentance. Fruit of what? Fruit of repentance. In other words, your life begins to line up with being born again. Your life begins to line. Now, before we go into details on that, before, I've had people say to me, you know, when somebody has done something and you know, you say this is not good, and you know, you come together. They say, "But how do you know? Do you know if this person has gone and has repented? Do you know if he has even prayed to God in his room, and God has forgiven him?" Before, I had no answer. I didn't know until I looked at the Bible, because the Bible talks about fruit of what? Of repentance. In other words, when somebody has repented, they bear a kind of fruit. So what kind of fruit would they bear? The person who has repented, if he's used to defend a position, the day he repented, irrespective of whether he will feel shame or not, he will not defend that position anymore. When you talk about that issue, he will never justify it anymore. Am I right? If he has repented, he thought it was bad, he asked God for forgiveness, he's moved on, he will never justify that position anymore. Secondly, I want us to look at Luke chapter 3, verse 8 to 14. Luke 3, 8 to 14. Fruit of repentance. He said, "Bear fruit that are deserving and consistent with your repentance." And praise the Lord. Can you see that? I like Amplified Version. He said, "Bear fruit that are deserving and consistent with your repentance. That is, conduct worthy of a heart change, a heart abhorring sin. And do not begin to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you that God is able from these stones to raise up descendants for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees, so that every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and cast into the fire." And the multitude ask him, "Then what shall we do?" So you will bear fruit of repentance. That's the first fruit that you have to seek to bear. In other words, The things you used to do before you became a Christian, you will not do them anymore. They cannot be part of your life, and you say you have repented because you are not bearing fruit. The fruit is the evidence that there has been a change. I'm going to be careful about giving this testimony because you may end up meeting the sister in question. My wife has been friends with a young woman about 27 years of age who, you know, met the Lord. As she met the Lord, she's been by herself in Australia. She's not bad looking, is she? She's not bad looking at all. So many suitors come. In fact, there was one that has been coming to her. And she liked the guy. And the guy said to him, you know, they happen to share shift, early morning shift. So the guy will go and drop him off. When he drops him off, he will drop her at home. I mean, when they finish work, come and drop her at home. And he would want to linger on in her room for a while. And the girl would say, please come out, go out. Because he said, look, he said, I've been down this track for so long before. He said, nobody forced me. I gave my life to Christ. I say, I'm no longer doing. If you want to marry me, wait. That is fruit of repentance. He now met another guy who propositioned her. She now met another guy who propositioned her. And suddenly, she told her pastor. The guy told his pastor too. And suddenly he discovered that the guy was just being rude to the pastor. Am I lying? This guy said, look, if you are rude to your pastor, you need to clear yourself first. Sort out yourself. If you don't have honor for him, he said, when I come to your house first, can I honor you? He said, then where do we go? You can't believe I'm telling you in this world here in Australia. She's alive and well. That is fruit of what? Of repentance. Because she said she made up her mind that she has changed. Ask your neighbor, what has changed about you? Go ahead. Ask your neighbor, what has changed about you? Praise the Lord. Fruit of repentance. It's fruit worthy, which is a proof of your repentance. There's the second kind of fruit. The fruit of kingdom expansion. Praise the Lord. The fruit of what? Kingdom expansion. John chapter 15 verse 2. He said, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruits. More what? More fruits. More what? More fruits. Fruit of kingdom expansion. I said, look, if you say you've been born again, you have never discipled anyone. Ask yourself a question. You've never ministered Christ to somebody. We are not. Look, people of the world, they want to shut us up by telling us that we shouldn't be talking. You see, they say, your belief is your personal thing. We are not safe to keep quiet. We are safe to do what? To announce it. That's the way they gag us. They say, oh, it's a personal thing. The Jehovah's Witness, they still go from house to house. Oh. But when you get to their house and they say go, and you say go, they will go. They won't force themselves on you. But they minister to you. If you allow them, they will minister to you. In fact, some people, the only friend they have are the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't go to their distinct, but they allow them to come in and minister there because no one else visits them. For some people, the only friend they will have may be you. If you start to minister Christ to them, not just in word, but in the way you love them. Disciple new people to come into the kingdom. And work to restore backsliders. There are people, there are different types of backsliders. They are complete backsliders. They are static backsliders. And they are partial backsliders. And ensure that people remain faithful. That is why your fruit will remain. Make sure that they remain faithful. That's why, you see, Paul, after he had discipled people, after he kept writing, he kept, you know, even when some of them became pastors like Timothy, he kept telling him, what to do and what not to do. Helping to build him up. The third type of fruit is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, we all know that one. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. We have to be bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We cannot be too good a Christian that no longer bear fruit. He said, by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which his presence within accomplishes is love, joy, that is gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, the ability to tolerate, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. Praise the Lord. Fruit of the Holy Spirit. To know that the Holy Spirit is inside of us. In other words, when those things are lacking, it shows that the Holy Spirit is not present. Because wherever he is, they will manifest. Praise the Lord. They will begin to manifest in your life in Jesus' name. So, what do we do? How do we bear such fruit? We work to maintain what we already have. Any of those aspects of, of the fruit of the Spirit that we already have, work to maintain them. We work to acquire what we don't have. If your own is anger, bring your emotion under control. If it's hatred, bring it under control. We acquire what we don't have. So we work to perfect what we are acquiring as well. And lastly, fruit of abundant life. Praise the Lord. John 10:10. He said, the thief cometh but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have what? Life. And life more abundantly. You bear the fruit of abundant life. It's the life of hope unquenched by circumstances. Is a life of hope unquenched by circumstances. Nothing dampens your hope. Because your hope is greater than the world put together. Your hope, you hope against hope, like Abraham. When his body and the body of his wife were meant to be dead, he still hoped. It's a life lived not in the fear of the enemy, the devil. But it's a life of an overcomer, knowing that you are indeed an overcomer because Jesus overcame. You no longer fear tomorrow. Do you know that Elijah did not see the cloud forming before he said there was going to be abundance of rain? He didn't see the cloud. No, he said it and the cloud formed. Somebody will say something and it will come to pass in Jesus' name. He didn't see it. You don't have to see it. And of course, this fruit of abundant life is the life of no limit. I call it think and say manifestation. Think, say, and manifestation. Mark 11:24 as we close. Say, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. It's the fruit of abundant life that catches the revelation of the word of God and make it operational in his or her life. And things will begin to happen for you. Because you have said it, it will start to happen. Can we just rise up? Because you have pronounced it, it will start to happen. That is part of the fruit of abundant life. It's not just money. It's the place of power. It's the place of power. If it's just money, remember Peter, when Peter got to the gate, beautiful was Peter wealthy. He said, silver or gold, I have none. Silver or gold, I have none. He said, but what I have, give I unto you. What did Peter have? I have anointing. Gave him anointing and his life changed. You will have anointing from today in Jesus' name. I want you to begin to speak to the Lord. Talk to God based on what you have just heard. What you have just heard. Fruit of abundance. The fruit of abundance. Lord, let it be manifest in my life. The fruit of repentance. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of expansion of the kingdom. May I begin to bear fruit, oh God. Lord, let me begin to bear fruit from today in Jesus' name. Let me begin to bear fruit from today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Listen to this very well. When people, some people have money, they think it's the blessing. When they have houses, they think it's blessing. Those are not blessings. What is blessing is the anointing of God upon your life that makes you to touch something and turn it to gold. When God touches you, everything you touch will begin to prosper. Pray to the Lord now. The blessing, all those things are manifestations of blessing because God has touched your life. God will touch your life tonight, this afternoon in Jesus' name. You begin to transform situations wherever you find yourself. You begin to transform situations. Your presence begin to make the difference in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for your word today, because you have liberated your people. You are releasing them to the greatness of life in you. Thank you for the mighty revelation of who you are. Your people are bearing fruit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And Lord, our God, we give you glory and we give you praise. Lord, who else has a God like this that can send his word to set us free? Who else has a God like this that can speak the word of life into our lives? Father, everyone that has heard me today, you are liberated from your infirmities in Jesus' name. You are liberated from every disease afflicting you in Jesus' name. You are liberated from the shackles of the enemy in Jesus' name. You are liberated from every limitation that is put on your life in Jesus' name. You are liberated from your thoughts that hold you down in Jesus' name. Every low self-esteem, every imagination that says you can't do and accomplish for God, today I ask them to crumble in Jesus' name. You are released to fly. I say you are released to fly. You are released to cause commotion in the kingdom of darkness. You are released to set the captives free. You are released to decree and make it stand in Jesus' name. Thank you, Daddy. In Jesus' glorious name we have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship.